Chapter 24. The Eyes of the World. The dark, beautiful woman held the bird-shaped figure up high in her cupped hands, its crystal body catching and shimmering under the afternoon sun. Ivanel whispered to her latest creation and tossed it up into the air, where it took wing and flew off.
"If them things are living, will they start laying eggs?"
Athrogate asked from his seat on a large rock at the side of the small meadow. Feeling much better now, the dwarf rolled Skullcrusher, the two-handed mace that used to belong to his beloved Ambergris, around in his strong hands.
"They would make the world more beautiful, would they not?" Ivanel answered.
"Bah, but the sun shining through 'em hurts me eyes."
Ivanel laughed at the idea that a dwarf, any dwarf, would be complaining to a dark elf about bright light.
"How many ye got out there now?" Athrogate asked. "First one's dead or whatever, or all about?"
"All. Dozens, though I've lost the exact count."
"And ye see through 'em? All of 'em? Sounds like you're to be getting dizzy."
"They tell me when I need to see through them," the drow replied. "I do not intend to be surprised out here, dwarf, and there is much afoot that would destroy us. We will know every approach."
"And everyone hiding," Athrogate agreed,
and he turned to the side, leading Ivanel's gaze to a nearby hillock, one that he had just left.
"We'll pull 'em in, all of 'em, and kill them what need killin'."
He rambled on a bit, but paused, noting that the woman wasn't listening. Ivanel stood with her eyes closed, a clear clue to Athrogate. He jumped up from the rock and slapped Skullcrusher across his open palm. Ivanel's violet eyes popped open, and she turned a smile on the dwarf.
"Demon," she said. "A demon in a dwarf's body."
"A dead demon, then," said the dwarf.
"But a living dwarf," Ivanel warned. The two stared at each other hard.
She was clearly referring to their last battle, one in which Athrogate hadn't stopped his bashing quickly enough, and so had destroyed a bauble-wearing, demon-possessed dwarf.
"Do not make that mistake again," Ivanel told him.
"Mistake?"
"Dwarf, I can send you away, and I could have let you die. Grant me this one favor in return."
"Nah, ye need me," Athrogate said,
that toothy smile showing again between the thick black bushes that comprised his beard.
"And ye love me too, though ye're trying hard to hide it."
"It is difficult to suppress such powerful feelings, but if I must," the woman answered with equal sarcasm,
drawing a bwa-ha-ha from Athrogate, who smacked the powerful mace across his hand again.
"You want to see if you can save a dwarf, then fine," he said more seriously and ominously. "I can wait a few heartbeats before smushing the fool's head to bone dust."
"Athrogate."
"Ye do what ye need to do," he answered, "and I'll do what meself's needin' to do."
He brought the mace up higher and kissed it.
"I ain't forgetting nothing."
"Being intelligent is no insult to your lost love."
"I ain't forgetting nothing,"
Athrogate repeated, his face a frozen grimace.
"Nothing."
Ivanel sighed heavily.
"Let us be away, dwarf, if you wish to accompany me."
Athrogate hopped up from the stone.
"I'll tell our guests."
"We'll tell them," Ivanel corrected. "Our hunt will take us right past the cave."
Athrogate softened his visage when he entered the shallow cave. A dozen humans, including three children, were scattered about the floor inside, huddled in whispered conversations, mostly worried about the farms they had abandoned or about what they might do if the demons ever found them. Ivanel and Athrogate had rescued them, brought them to this place, and guarded over them. With her magic, Ivanel was feeding them. Athrogate couldn't stay mad at her regarding the disposition of a demon-possessed dwarf when looking upon this group. The drow woman had nothing to gain from saving these people, and in fact had put herself in harm's way in extracting most from farms that were soon after overrun. Even though most of Athrogate's experiences with drow had been with Drizzt and Jarlaxle,
these continuing unexpected revelations about the race as a whole, particularly coming from, purportedly, a priestess of Lolth, had him shaking his head.
"Set guards about the entrance," Ivanel told them. "If danger approaches, you will be warned, as will I, and I will send word as to where you should flee."
Most nodded, but more than one, Athrogate noted, grimaced or muttered something surely unflattering under her breath. The farmers didn't really know what in the world was happening around them, and some here didn't trust Ivanel, obviously, even though, by all appearances, she had rescued them. That was the problem with the reputation of the drow, Athrogate mused. They were known to wrap webs over webs over more webs, and you never quite understood their real purpose until it was too late. Certainly Athrogate occasionally flashed on doubts about Ivanel, but he had a prior understanding of her from people he trusted, and so those doubts could not take hold. These folks had likely never encountered any drow before, or if so, likely not one who would help them, unless, of course, it was Drizzt. The dwarf looked to his companion then as she started back out of the cave, heading off to destroy another demon. He reminded himself that he owed her his life, and though he would have been perfectly fine with his own death, after the loss of his beloved ambergris, it was no small thing that he was able to help save these farmers, and there were many more out there who needed him, or that he was getting the chance to pay back those who had so wronged him and his love. So when he caught up to Ivanel and she again asked him to do her this one favor, instead of immediately growling and snarling, Athrogate offered, "We'll see." The dawn's light showed Drizzt that he had not escaped his pursuer. Indeed, his attempt to throw the giant spider off his trail had only allowed the thing to close the great distance he had put between it and himself, for it could not pace Andahar. But Andahar could not remain on this plane forever. The unicorn was a magical item and an enchantment with a specific duration. Without the unicorn, Drizzt couldn't hope to outrun the spider, and after shooting it and its fellow arachnid in the caverns outside Gontalgrim, he was fairly certain that he couldn't possibly defeat the spider either, not unless he could find some weakness. To do that, he needed time. To buy time, he needed to get far, far away. But how? A large tree just beyond the nearest ridge shuddered suddenly and fell over with a crash, and Drizzt didn't need to wait to figure out what had caused it. He swung his mount around and galloped away at full speed, trying to get every last stride out of Andahar before the magic expired, taking the unicorn from him for far too many hours. But where to go? Not Longsaddle, certainly, nor Luskin, not Waterdeep even, for how many would be killed by the monster chasing him even if the city found the power to destroy the thing? When he crested the next hill, the drow paused for just a moment to survey the area and figure out where he was. He had come a long way through the night and could see the ocean far in the distance. Athrogate locked his gaze upon the pony he and Ivanel had taken from Regis. He hated using the animal as bait here, but the effectiveness of the ploy couldn't be denied. The pony nickered and stamped its foot. Athrogate clenched his hands more tightly on Skullcrusher. A shadow to the side caught the dwarf's wary eye, a dark form moving through the trees, circling to the back of the pony. The demon, a misshapen black and green humanoid creature with one arm twice as long as the other, both hands ending in three long claws instead of fingers, burst from the brush, sprinting at the animal. Athrogate was already in the air, flying to intercept. The demon didn't slow, veering to charge the dwarf instead, its unbalanced face seeming little more than a mouth that stretched halfway around its head and a pair of two large eyes. Green spittle flew from that mouth, and green ooze dripped from every bit of the creature. Every part of it reeked of disease. A lesser fighter would have fallen away in terror. A less sturdy person would have simply melted before the reeking horror. A less angry dwarf, even Athrogate, might have flinched. The collision was not demon and dwarf, as the diseased abyssal creature had clearly wanted. No, it was demon and Skullcrusher. Athrogate, whipping the huge mace across before him, swatting the monster in mid-leap and sending it flying to the side. Acidic green mucus flew from it, leaving a trail and splattering Athrogate's weapon and arms. The magic of Skullcrusher would not allow the mighty weapon to be damaged by the stuff, though, and the anger of Athrogate would not allow him to be daunted by a few minor burns. He charged in pursuit of the demon, raining blows upon it before it regained its footing. The creature fought back wildly, leaping side to side, clawing with its hideous hands, even spitting acid in the dwarf's face. That only brought a roar of outrage, though, and the dwarf pounded in even more recklessly and viciously, sending Skullcrusher into a series of short, downward strikes, pounding at the upraised arm of the demon, then eventually at its head. Athrogate accepted the clawing of the creature's other arm, the three hooks tearing into his flesh deeply. He just yelled louder, as if using his voice to drown out the pain. His voice, and a memory. He was fighting for Amber here, and no wound would slow his strikes. Down went the demon to its knees, and it slumped forward. Athrogate changed his angle of attack, batting the monster's face with a great two-handed swing that sent its head snapping out to the side and sent the beast spinning down to the ground. Athrogate swung again, but too high as the thing dropped, and the momentum of his fury sent the dwarf stumbling over the prone monster, finally floundering in a bush a few strides beyond it. He twisted and clawed his way back out, turning with murderous intent. But where the demon had been, now kneeled a dwarf on all fours, shaking her head groggily.
"Ah, but no ye don't," Athrogate whispered, and he advanced with a low growl, lifting Skullcrusher up over his head for a killing blow.
He staggered just before he finished the dwarf, though, as a bolt of golden light slammed him in the chest, knocking him back a stride. A second similar bolt struck the kneeling dwarf, and she crumpled down to the ground. It had not been an attack on either, Athrogate understood, as the nature of the enchantment registered. He had been struck with some weird healing magic, one that projected force along with the warmth to soothe the pain and salve to wash away the biting acid. He looked across the small lee and saw Evenel standing there beside the pony.
"The necklace," she yelled at him. "Take the necklace."
Athrogate's first thought was to cave in the kneeling stone shaft dwarf's head, and he even moved to that effect, but Evenel's order to him wasn't mundane. It too was magical, carrying great weight, and delivered so closely after the powerful healing spell, it surprised the dwarf. Before he even consciously registered the movement, Athrogate found himself holding a silver chain festooned with a large, milky blue moonstone. He heard a voice in his head, growling and sinister, a liquid voice full of phlegm and disease, one demanding entrance. But a second voice was there as well, the commanding tones of Evenel, telling Athrogate to drop the phylactery. Athrogate, too willful and angry to be possessed to any extent by either the demon thing or the priestess, settled it his own way. He tossed the bauble into the air, took up his huge mace, and batted it far and high. It went into a nearby tree, crackling along the branches, and there it hung out of sight. The kneeling dwarf gasped repeatedly. Athrogate turned on her, his anger unsated, but he found Evenel there, standing between him and his prey.
"Move yourself," he told the drow woman.
"The dwarf is no longer possessed," Evenel told him.
"She'll be dying with a better chance of seeing Moradin then."
"Do not, I beg."
"Beg?"
"For yourself, Athrogate."
Evenel moved aside just a bit, giving Athrogate a better view of the battered dwarf woman, her light hair streaked with blood, her breathing still coming in raspy heaves.
"You know nothing of her, of—"
"I know she's one of them."
"One of what? A stone shaft?" "Yes, but did she have a voice in the decisions? And once the necklace was put upon her, did she even know what it contained? You do not know that she welcomed the possession. You do not know that she didn't fight it with every bit of courage she could muster."
"So you're thinking I should just pretend that this one, that all of them played no role in me Amber's death, eh?"
the dwarf growled, and he couldn't even pry his clenched teeth apart as he finished.
They cut off her head!
I know, Ivanel said, her voice thick with sympathy. I know, and I understand your pain and your rage. But there is more at stake here than just this one woman's life. Behind Athrogate, a branch cracked and fell. Both Athrogate and Ivanel stared at it, at the rotted wood and dead leaves, and the silver chain with the moonstone bauble wrapped about it, hissing. Do what you will, Ivanel stated, and rushed past Athrogate to the phylactery. She began to chant before she got there, an odd, harsh language that Athrogate had heard enough times now to understand that she was banishing the demon that lurked within that gemstone, damning it back to the abyss where it belonged. He had witnessed this before, against beings more powerful than this one, he was sure, and so he had no doubt of the outcome. He swung back around, his knuckles whitening from the grip on his mace, his teeth grinding. He lifted the weapon but dropped it back down, then took up a fistful of bloody hair and yanked the woman's head back so he could look her in the eye. Athrogate winced. He saw fear there, and something deeper, like some violation spilling out through her wounded eyes. Dwarf? Ivanel asked. Athrogate glanced back at her over his shoulder.
She makes one move, says one thing I'm not liking, and her head's getting split.
He let go and walked off, back toward the hillock and the refugees, muttering curses with every step. Drizzt knew that he was running out of time, and he had not put nearly enough ground between himself and the pursuing arachnid to keep ahead of it without Andahar. From a high hilltop he spotted the monster, or at least he spotted the line of devastation it was leaving in its wake, winding like a river of destruction through the forests in the east. He looked down to his left, to a small hamlet of farmhouses, and wondered if he should go down and warn them. Or are there even farmers remaining there? He whispered. The forests and fields were full of demons, after all. That notion almost had him turning Andahar down that way, but he held back. The spider would likely run right past the hamlet if Drizzt went nowhere near it, since the other one had paid him no heed when he hadn't blocked its way. Drizzt turned his mount the other way and galloped off, trying to focus on the road ahead. The unicorn was a magical item, not a living creature. He had to remind himself repeatedly. He could push his own body beyond its limits, but not so with the magic here. 12 hours, no more, and once that time had elapsed, either in a single summoning or in several smaller stints over the course of a day, Andahar would be lost to him for nearly a full day. So he galloped full speed, knowing the mount wouldn't tire, and knowing, too, that every yard of distance he put between himself and the spider gave him a better chance of surviving a day without the unicorn. Despite his own terrible predicament, he continued to think of that other spider as well, the one that had so fully ignored him, the one so obviously focused on some other target. He was pretty sure that he knew who that target might be. So is it the pony or the halfling? Ivanel asked. She was in a fine mood then, convinced that the dwarf woman, now in the cave with the other refugees, was not complicit in the darkness that had come to the crags. She had used powerful spells of divination on the dwarf, Leary by name, to detect any lying during her questioning. And though dwarfs were by nature hard to read and resistant to magic, Ivanel had been confident enough in the interview to allow Leary into the cave unattended. Not that she was in any shape to cause harm to the sturdy farmers after the beating Athrogate had put upon her.
Aye,
Athrogate answered, and he too seemed a bit lighter. Because he hadn't crushed Leary's skull, Ivanel knew. Aye, she echoed. One or the other?
Both, Athrogate explained. Brunner gived the name to Regis long ago, was always hungry with a belly always growling. Regis passed it on to the pony.
Ivanel sighed, finally catching on to the contraction in this language new to her. And here I thought dwarves the most ridiculous in their naming conventions, she mumbled.
Aye, laughed Athrogate. Once knew a priest named Cordio Muffinhead.
He started to elaborate, but stopped when a crystalline bird flew to a nearby branch, chirping a warning.
Bah, but I'm ready to bash another one, the dwarf declared, and leaped up, taking up Skullcrusher.
But Ivanel, listening to the warning ward, was shaking her head. No demon, she said, and she cast the crystalline bird into the air. She motioned for Athrogate to follow and ran off after her magical creation. They didn't have far to go, for they had barely come upon a well-worn trail when the rider came into view and was immediately recognizable to the pair, as was his distinctive mount. Drizzt recognized them in turn. He galloped Andarhar right up to them, skidded to a stop, and leaped from the unicorn, staring incredulously at Athrogate for many heartbeats before wrapping the dwarf in a great hug.
How did you survive?
He started to ask, but stopped and noted the dwarf's companion, who was as powerful a cleric as he had ever known.
My friend, he said instead, it warms my heart to see you alive.
Athrogate didn't disagree, but still wore his dour expression.
We will hoist a mug and toast to Ambergris, Drizzt said quietly.
Not wanting to waste a precious moment of Andahar's remaining time, Drizzt dismissed the unicorn.
Aye, to me Amber, the dwarf cheered.
Ivanel began to join in, but was cut short by the drow warrior.
But first, you must be gone from here, both of you. Run and do not look back.
We've been killing demons, Athrogate replied.
And gathering refugees, added Ivanel, including a dwarf who was possessed but is now free and repentant. I believe that we can help.
Drizzt was shaking his head.
I'm pursued by a beast beyond us all. It is cutting a line of devastation behind me in its pursuit. If you encounter it and are lucky, it will ignore you, but if not, it will surely destroy you.
Bah! The dwarf snorted.
Ivanel, though, wasn't so quick to dismiss the words. She knew all about Drizzt and all about his friends and the enemies they had overcome. She had orchestrated Drizzt's explosive leap into the face of Demogorgon. So to see him so clearly unsettled.
Where? She asked.
Drizzt glanced back the way he had come.
Not far. But you have time to turn aside from its path as long as I am not with you.
It will turn as I turn. It hunts me and me alone.
What is it?
Ivanel pressed.
There's no time.
But then Drizzt remembered who he was talking to. She was possessed of the intimate and complete memories of her namesake, Ivanel the Eternal, who had lived for 2 millennia as the drow voice of the Spider Queen, and who knew more about the creatures of the lower plains than any drow now alive, and maybe, just maybe, she knew of a way to defeat it.
A demon, I believe.
A spider?
Yes, and there are two.
Drizzt paused at Ivanel's gasp.
One for me, and one charging for Gontogrim last I saw. I thought it best to steer this one away, because I feared that Brunner and the others could not defeat 2 of the beasts. Its eyes throw fire and lightning and turn people to stone. I have seen them shot with my own bow, dropped under tons of stone, but with not a hint of injury.
Retrievers, Ivanel explained. They are retrievers.
You do know of them, said Drizzt.
Then ye know how to beat 'em, added Athrogate.
Yes, she answered Drizzt. And no, she said to the dwarf. I fear that Gontalgrim cannot defeat even that single one. A retriever's limitation is also its strength. It is a golem singularly attuned to one target, and it will pursue that target until it captures or kills it. The other creatures of the material plane can barely touch a retriever. They are but witnesses in a play that does not include them. Part of the golem's magic is that it and its target alone fully share their place of existence.
But I was the one who shot the beast pursuing me.
with a bow that shoots arrows of lightning. You will not harm it. It is beyond you.
Then what? Athrogate demanded, growing agitated.
Run, Drizzt O'Erden, Ivanel told him. Keep running. Run as far as you can. I will seek a solution, but there is little I can promise.
Bah, but I ain't about to move aside so some fat spider can kill me friend,
Athrogate protested, and he slapped Skullcrusher across his palm for emphasis. Then your friend will watch you be destroyed, Ivanel calmly replied. What is its weakness? Drizzt asked the woman. It has none. Every bit is armored. It is fast and it is strong. You'll not kill it with magic, surely.
One of my blades is a frostbrand. It feasts on creatures of fire.
Ivanel shrugged, for she did not know if that would matter. I will learn what I may, she answered. And I will find you when I do and help in any way that I can. Someone, something very powerful, is determined to get you, Drizzt O'Erden, and to get whoever is the target of the second golem.
Demogorgon?
Drizzt asked.
Lolf?
Ivanel responded.
But Lolf had me in a tunnel and she did not take me, said Drizzt. And if the other golem is for Zachnafane, we suspect that it was Lolf who returned him to my side.
It was not Lolf who did that, Ivanel stated flatly. Drizzt began to respond, but stopped and regarded the powerful priestess curiously. It was not Lolf, Ivanel repeated. And keeping you alive, then only to hunt you now, would be very much in character for the Lady of Chaos. Run on, Drizzt O'Erden, stay ahead of the beast. I will learn what I may. Drizzt reeled from the woman's declaration, his mind spinning.
My time with Andahar is nearing its end. The magic will soon enough expire. I cannot outrun the retriever without my steed.
Then go and hide. Find a narrow tunnel through which the beast cannot easily follow. It will dig its way in pursuit, but not so easily. Drizzt tried to figure how much time he had left, even while he worked to pinpoint exactly where he was and what places might be near enough around for him to reach on Andahar. Although, would it even matter? If he could not fight the monster, if it was indeed quite above him, would anything matter? Yes, he realized and quickly decided. Some things mattered, even to the doomed. He unfastened his sword belt.
Should we run and hide?
Athrogate was asking Ivanel. Ivanel considered it for a moment, then said, yes. And I will have my magical spies watching carefully.
Spiders that bad?
Ivanel, stone-faced, nodded. They don't rest. They don't stop. They're almost impossible to defeat, if it's possible at all. They're the most dependable hunters in all the planes of existence, and Lolf, or Demogorgon, or both, has apparently spared no resources in their hunt.
Bah! But I ain't for buying that, eh, Elfie? The dwarf said, turning back to Drizzt.
Drizzt moved under a spreading elm tree and dropped his weapons to the ground.
Hey, Athrogate said again. Put your belt back on, Elfie, and let's kill us some spider. Doubt you can eat the damn thing, though.
Drizzt bent low and set his backpack atop the sword belt and weapons he had just placed down. He looked up to regard the dwarf, offering a smile. He was glad indeed to see his friend finding a way to his typically ridiculous humor.
Not this spider, Athrogate.
He took off his cloak and bracers and the quiver that supplied an endless stream of arrows to Tolmeril and placed them too on the pile.
You're not wanting to kill the thing.
Oh, me friend, I am. I be wanting, Drizzt replied, faking a dwarven brogue.
But we cannot. When I saw you two, I did hope that we might defeat the beast, for Ivanel's power is as great as any I have witnessed. But she knows better.
and she just told us that we three together would have no chance of defeating this abyssal golem.
Then run, because it's coming,
the dwarf said somberly.
Why are ye stripping? Think your horse thing'll run faster?
I will ride, Drizzt replied, not quite answering the question. He pulled the whistle still hanging about his neck up to his lips and blew, summoning Andahar. Andahar has little left to offer me, but enough, I hope, to get me to my destination. You and Ivanel stay far afield of the beast. It will follow me.
Elfi,
for your sake, my sake, and the sake of the refugees you harbor. I do not know if it will take note of you. I have already seen instances where these monsters have turned on those in their way, and where the monsters have simply run by. If it turns on you, it will kill you and Ivanel and all those you protect.
And what are ye meaning to do then? Ye got a plan?
Keep safe my possessions, was all that Drizzt was willing to answer. He pulled off his boots and mithril shirt and dropped them on the pile, leaving him with only his breeches and the whistle on the silver chain hanging about his neck.
Get all of this to Brunner and Catty Bree if I do not return. I go hopeful of victory, and certain, even failing that, this monster will not take me to its master, nor will it remain to wreak destruction upon those I love.
The large unicorn came galloping up beside Drizzt, who caught Andahar by the mane and gracefully swung up onto the steed's back.
Trust me, he said to Athrogate.
And he offered a smile and a wink, then galloped away. Athrogate stared down the trail where Drizzt and the unicorn had run.
Drizzt'll find a way,
he muttered. Ivanel could only hope that he was right. She wondered, too, if Brunner still sat on the throne of Gontalgrim, or if there even still was a throne of Gontalgrim.